I'm on. Okay. Good afternoon. It is 2:31 on August 6th. I am Commissioner Brooks. Joining me is Commissioner Leslie Van Beek. The DSD staff report and any additional exhibits received by the established materials deadline have been posted on the county's website on the land use hearing page for anyone to review. This is SD 2023-0012. Before we begin testimony, are there any declarations pertaining to this application, such as conversations or meetings outside of this hearing, received by any commissioner?
No. Thank you, Chairman.
No for myself. Is there any commissioner who, for reasons of conflict of interest, requests to be excused from participating in this specific decision?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
Okay. No for myself. All right. Seeing as we only have one person here to testify, the applicant will go first. DSD will give their staff report. Applicant will have time for rebuttal. And so we will now swear in those that are wanting to testify.
Deanne Lister, Jay Gibbons, Carrie Smith. Could everybody raise your right hand? Do you swear to affirm that the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay, state your name and address for the record.
Carrie Smith, 17741 Linden Lane, Caldwell, Idaho, 83607. And thank you, Chairman Brooks and Commissioner Van Beek and staff. This is a request for preliminary plat only, and we have worked so closely with staff and agencies to get us here today. So it's for the preliminary plat and a request for the waivers from the City of Star subdivision improvements, which you will see we received their approval or recommendation of approval on that actually a couple of years ago. And they were completely good with that because of the rural nature out there. And this was a conditional rezone that was approved approximately a year ago, maybe now, maybe less. And we have worked diligently on complying with all of the conditions of approval there. Have also worked closely with staff and through the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on the recommended conditions of approval that are in front of you today. And so I could bore you, but we agree with all of them that how they've been rewrote since the Planning and Zoning Commission that they approved. And if there was any specific questions on any of them, happy to answer those. But I mean, in general, we've worked hard to get here. We agree with staff's findings and the PNZs, and would request your approval today. Stand for questions.
And Chairman, I'm just going to go back and ask the question that she's already referenced. So was your proposal to eliminate number 7, correct, on the...
So the old number 7 was... It was duplicative. It had like a specific requirement that said reference the development agreement and the secondary residences again. And so I had put on the record at Planning and Zoning that it didn't need to state one of the conditions of approval from the development agreement, that it just needed to say the development agreement. And so they agreed, and that's been updated. So we agree with this language, and I think that that's a good note to put on the development or on the final plat to say that there's a development agreement that has to be complied with.
Yes, agreed. And maybe the online version has more updates, and I still have number 7 that looks significantly like the same number 7 in the P&Z staff report. So I'll have Dan address that. But then there was also, to that point, a reference to make number 11 more generic instead of referencing a specific final plat regarding the floodplain development.
Yes, and that one just says now that the floodplain development permit approval conditions per DP 2540 shall be met prior to final plat. And so especially saying the applicable floodplain. And I've already sent an email to staff and Dahlia to confirm which of those she would like to be met before, which I think there's only one.
Okay.
So I think we're okay.
Through the chair, we added that more generalized, so the applicant can work with the floodplain administrator to gain compliance.
Okay. Like, for example, if you see Exhibit B6, one of the conditions of approval was for CCNRs to be developed. This is two lots for family. Mm-hmm. They aren't going to develop CCNRs. And even the legislature doesn't support, like, they were trying to pass a law to get rid of CCNRs. And they don't want to develop CCNRs. So the requirement to have this floodplain approval in the CCNRs, there won't be any CCNRs. So that was kind of why I had brought that up at the last hearing, was because I wanted that removed. But Dan at the last hearing said the right process for me was to amend the development agreement or the floodplain development permit, not that P&Z couldn't change those conditions. So
okay,
I agree with that, and I wasn't bringing it up again.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you for the clarification for this board in the hearing. It was a little bit confusing, and so.
You read the record. That's awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, those are the questions I had, Chairman.
Okay. You're up, Dan.
Cool. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioner. Again, as stated, Bowtie Estates subdivision preliminary plat's before you, which is a two-lot subdivision. Also includes a waiver of any City of Star subdivision improvements. This is located at 25744 Kingsbury Lane in Middleton, and the two parcels on the screen. So these two parcels were created without going through our process. In May of 2025, it was rezoned to a rural residential zone subject to a development agreement, which is shown on the screen, basically maintain a 5-acre average lot size, meet all the zoning requirements in the A zone subject except for the lot size, no further development or divisions, and then no secondary residences. So the criteria before you is, one, consider the recommendation by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then make your findings based on evidence that supports the ordinance and standards and reasons why to approve or deny. So before you is the plat. As you can see, it's a two-lot subdivision, 10.97 acres with dedication on Kingsbury. It's 10.17, so it still meets the 5-acre average minimum lot size. Water and sewer is already provided on lot one where there's existing dwellings and accessory structures. So lot two will have a domestic well and septic system, and that's noted on the plat. Drainage would be maintained on site. It's fairly flat except for near the front where there's some slopes against Edna Road. So a lot of it would be maintained on site. And there was a site runoff plan showing how that would be maintained on site through a drain pipe that when it flows from east to west. Irrigation, as you can see on the screen in blue, there's an easement that provides the water delivery from Willow Creek along the east boundary and then along the south all the way to lot one. So it is a shared system. Water rights are provided by Black Canyon Irrigation District. Road access, lot one already has access to Kingsbury, which is an open and maintained right-of-way. Lot two will have frontage on Edna and access through there. Hillside development, there isn't any in the sense that there's no development, residential or accessory structures that will be allowed on 15% slopes, and that has been identified as a non-build area. However, when reviewing this plat, we did notice that a driveway or access has been built on slopes over 15%. So working with the applicant, we did put a condition on there saying you will provide a grading and drainage plan for that access prior to final plat approval. And then also it was also identified by Black Canyon Irrigation District that the access goes through a portion of their easement, so they will have to get an agreement for that access. So this will be all. This is all conditioned on the preliminary plat that they would have to meet that prior to final plat signature. So comments, DST Engineering found that it is in A-zone floodplain without base flood elevation. A study was provided and reviewed through a development permit, and condition 11 provides the mechanism to make sure those conditions are met prior to final plat signature. Highway District number 4 initially required a 50-foot right-of-way along Kingsbury, but based on a a garage that existed closer than that. They worked on a variance to make it a 38.5 foot right-of-way dedication to work with the applicant on that that setback issue, and was granted that. And so the access has been approved by Highway District Number 4. IDD had no concerns about the request. Southwest District Health reviewed the subdivision engineering report and has approved the subdivision subject to conditions, which is final plat signature. City of Star reviewed the application, found it to meet their future land use plan and their comprehensive plan, and waives the standards and improvements that the city would normally require to keep this rural. And condition 9 just requires them to sign the plat, final plat per Canyon Code. DEQ provided some information, but no project-specific information. Our GIS addressing department found the subdivision name to be Meat Canyon County Code. Black Canyon Irrigation, again, identified the two easements, one for Willow Creek and the other one for Sea Line. Those are shown on the plat. They identified in February 2023 of the water rights that each lot has, and then again stated that they want a user's agreement for that that access on Edna Lane that encroaches a little bit into their easement. And then we received one comment during this hearing notice from Idaho Power. This identified a couple of old easements that go through the property, and they just want them to either be depicted or vacated through their process. So that has been added as condition number 12. Here are the conditions. Most of these are standard. They have to get the signature. They have to, you know, meet the general requirements like a water users maintenance agreement. But 1A is the grading and drainage plan for that access that does encroach on slopes over 50%, which the applicant agreed to provide at the time of final plat. Also, 4A is to make sure they get that user's agreement for that access through that irrigation easement. Trying to see anything out of the ordinary here. And then number 12 is the Idaho Power easement, either depicting it or vacating that through their process prior to final plat approval. So Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval. The findings for you that have been drafted for you kind of match their recommendations subject to that additional condition 12 by Idaho Power. So that's something you can use if you want to approve it without any changes. I'm available for questions, but I'll quickly go through some of the pictures. Here's the aerial, again, the plat. Here to the left is the floodplain. The gold color is the A zone. To the right, you can see where access was kind of not on the slopes in 2023, and then all of a sudden they were. So that's why we added that condition. And then here's the drainage plan showing east to west drainage and how it's captured by a drainage pipe. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Chairman.
Yeah.
I just wanted to restate for the record, it's in the record, but if I read this correctly and understand it, the issue with the width of the access on that was because that changed on the part of the highway district based on the growth and future traffic patterns, the anticipated traffic patterns. And so it went from a conforming structure with the width at that time to non-conforming because the highway district changed, not necessarily because there was anything wrong with the building.
So actually the 50 is their normal standard for that.
Okay.
Right away. When we did the rezone, we didn't anticipate that when we said you have to keep it all ag zoned, that setbacks would impact that the distance between what they needed for the right of way versus what that structure needed. And so once that got approved and the development agreement went through, staff and the applicant realized that doesn't meet setbacks. And so instead of going through a development agreement modification just to fix the setbacks, they worked with the highway district just to reduce that dedication, understanding that there is probably a future, but not anytime soon for that right-of-way dedication. And so the applicant was able to work with Highway District Number 4 to gain that variance,
okay,
meet the setbacks that we need. By reducing the right of way.
So Highway District 4 was the entity that granted the variance for that. Yeah. Takes it a little bit out of our hands and off our plate.
I think it's just timing to have to go all the way back through the DA modification, show that necessity for that. It would have took a very long time. So yeah. It was a way for the applicant to work with that agency and get past it using their variance process.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. I don't have any additional questions.
You have anything for rebuttal?
No.
Okay.
Chairman, I move that we close public testimony.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Chairman, I'm in favor of approving this with the conditions that have been outlined by staff to include the Idaho Power easement, and appreciate the just combing through some of the details on this. I don't like variances, but they did prove it up with the highway district. So to Dan's point, that future traffic pattern is a ways into the future, and it's better than tearing down the structure or running through it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's one way to take it down. Yeah. I also am in favor. So I would entertain a motion.
Okay. I am getting
Or I can make it since I'm sitting here.
Yeah. Chairman, I move that based on the findings of facts. Let's see, I'm not on the right place here. And if you have it, go ahead.
Let's see, I move based upon the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order contained in your herein, I move that the Board of County Commissioners approves case SD2023-0012, the Bowtie Estate Subdivision Preliminary Plat, subject to the following 12 conditions that are enumerated in the report and have been discussed on the record.
I second.
All right, motion's been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So this
quickly fix a little flub I see in the FCOs and then have Diana or Jenna print it out and then you can sign it.
Okay.
And the flub is just, I want to cite the waiver portion. There's a couple areas where I cite it but don't put the code where it, so I just want to add that in.
Okay. It's been noted. It's still recorded on the record. If there is nothing else at 2:48, this hearing is adjourned. Thank you.